A road of progress, the route, a mode, or means a highway. So there's a way. There's a way. There's a pathway that you can find that will connect you to the Heavenly Father. There's a pathway to heaven. There's a pathway from earth to heaven. And you're going to find it in a personal relationship with Jesus. He is the way. Now, we're walking on a journey. And we can go our own way or God's way. We have a choice. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of my own way. I've had a fill. My cup is full of my own way. I don't find any satisfaction in my own way. I've been down my own path in life long enough to where I don't want to be on that path anymore. I want to walk in the way of God. Which path do you live your life? Do you do your own thing? Do you go your own way? Which path are you walking down? It's important to understand that on this path, it's a way of believing, thinking, choosing, speaking, and behaving. This pathway, it matters what you believe, because what you believe is going to determine what you think. And what you think is going to determine the decisions or choices you make in life. And the choices you make determine what comes out of your mouth and how you behave your life. It's a pathway of believing. You got to believe the right thing. Do you believe the truth about God and the truth about yourself? Two most important things in life you can learn are the truth about God, what kind of God He is, what He's like, what His character is like, and then how God sees you. Do you believe the truth about what God says about you? Not what you see in the mirror, not what someone says about you, but what God's Word says about you is true. This is how you walk on the pathway with Jesus Christ, by putting your trust in Him and believing His Word is true about who God is and about who God says you are. What you believe determines how you will think and what you will decide. God's ways, Isaiah 55. It says, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God He will abundantly pardon. Now look at this. It says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So you got to understand right up front, just because you think something doesn't make it a God idea. Because God's ideas are a lot higher than man's ideas. God's ways are higher than man's ways. Just because you roll out of bed and your mind's working a certain way and you're thinking a certain thing doesn't mean it's a God thought. That may be a man thought. Y'all follow me. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Now think about that. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So man will run down the path of life thinking he's doing God's way, when all the time he's going his own way, doing his own thing, walking down the path of life. We say that seems right. That seems like the right thing to do. And we go on, we make our choices, we live our life based on what seems right. You need to be careful and make sure you find what is right. There's a difference in what seems right and what God says is right. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. That's frightening. I love this. Look this one up in your Bible. Go to Nahum. Nahum's a small prophet. He's near Jonah. I think he's just, it's Jonah, Micah, then Nahum. N-A-H-U-M. And if you go to Habakkuk, just go left one chapter and you'll find it there. What's the Nahum. Do what? Brother Ted gives page numbers from the Bible class on Thursday night because we all read now the same Bible, so the Life Recovery Bible. So we enjoy. If you hadn't gone to the Thursday night Life Recovery class, you're missing something. That's not just for recovering addicts. That's for the whole church. Liz and I have been going to several classes, and it's just so encouraging. It's just so alive, and it's so true. As people give their life stories, and we read out of the Bible, and it's a recovery class, but hey, we're all in recovery, amen? All right, y'all found this verse in Nahum? Here we go, let's look it up. Verse, chapter 1, verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind. Now we get our life all situated. We get our careers, and we get that just the way we want it. And we have our family life, and we work real hard to make sure those relationships are nurtured and cared for. And we get our family life just situated, just the way we want it. And then there's our church life. We get that just the way. Everything's going at church just the way we want it. And then there's our ministry, the thing that we do to help other people. And we're in charge of that, and God's blessing that. And we got that situated just the way we want it. There's our hobbies that we squeeze in there, our health. There's all these aspects of life. I mean, I spent the last 2 days on my cattle farm working cows again, and I hurt my knee. I slipped in cow poop, and I fell down, and I hurt my knee. And I can't believe I'm still out there getting hurt. Every time I go out there, I get hurt. But I'm still determined to do it. But you get your life situated. You got your friends, your church, your ministry, your hobbies, your job, your career, your family, your kids, your grandkids, everything just situated. And then the whirlwind comes and blows it all away. Everything tumbles out of place. Nothing's situated. And you wonder, what in the world has just happened? And then you realize God has his way in the whirlwind. God's way is right in the middle of the whirlwind. What's God doing? Well, he's trying to move things around because we make idols out of all these things. And God doesn't want any idols. The Bible says the Lord's a jealous God. And God loves you too much to let you get married to something of this earth. So he moves it all around to keep it where you're only married to him, where you give your heart and your life and your devotion and your attention and your love and your worship only to him. God's a jealous God. Sometimes we make idols out of family, or money, our career, or we can make idols out of anything. Anything that you set your affection on in too great a way and it becomes an ultimate thing, then that's an idol. So God has his way in the whirlwind. You think, well, I thought the tornadoes were all from the devil. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, does it? It does say in the book of Job that the devil used the tornadoes to judge Job's life and his kids. That's how, remember, the kids were in a home and the tornado struck the home. That was the devil doing all that. So you see, the devil does have his hand in some bad weather. I can prove that in the Bible. But the Bible also says the devil can't do anything to you unless he gets permission from God. So God has to allow these things. So when the Weather Channel says there's tornadoes in the area, I'm always praying and I'm always not quite sure if the devil's about to hit me with something or if this is nothing but God's way just running right over my house. Last year, Liz and I lost 2 barns in a tornado. One barn got picked all the way up off and thrown across the pasture, and the other barn, I lost a roof on it. You say, what does that matter? You got insurance? Yeah, but my insurance rates went way up this year. So it mattered. I realized that there's nothing free out there. You pay for it one way or another. God has his way in the whirlwind. Are y'all following that? Fiery trials, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world. So life's a test and a trust, and we're going to go through things. And what God is doing, he creates change and loss. The two most difficult things for humans to deal with is unwanted change or loss. And when we experience change and loss at the same time, it creates pain. We grieve over the loss. We grieve over the change. We don't want that kind of change. But that's what the whirlwind does. It creates change and loss. God wants to change us. That's the reason we go through storms that produce change and loss. It's because God's ultimately not so concerned with these things he just tipped over with the whirlwind, but he's trying to change you, and he's trying to change me, and he's not given up on us yet. He's brought me a million miles from where I started, but he's still working on me today. God's still got to bring things into my life because he desires to make me more Christ-like than what I am today. And he's doing this in your life. Romans 8, 28 and 29, two of the most famous scriptures in all the Word of God. 28 would be probably the top 10 scriptures in the Word of God as far as familiarity. It says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Look at 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God's trying to conform us into the image of his Son. He's trying to make us more like Jesus. So we've got to go through trials. We've got to go through tests. We've got to go through whirlwind experiences. Why? Because he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. His ultimate intention for you is to make you more like Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? You say, well, I still don't like those tornadoes. I agree. Matthew 16, 25, whosoever will save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Don't tell me Jesus isn't in the change and loss business. He's always creating situations where we lose something. God's simply trying to get us to turn around, to leave our own way, and choose to travel down God's way. You need to get enough of your own way before you can choose only God's way. You got to get full of it. The prodigal son in Luke 15 said he came unto himself in the pig pen, then he turned, returned back to his father. He had to first get full of his own way. I'm telling the world might look good for a season, but it stings you. It's painful. It hurts you. It destroys you. The world, the flesh, the devil, it all promises this short season of bliss, that sin can give you pleasure, but I'm telling you, it's a big fat lie. I've had enough of my own way. I don't want to go down that path ever again. I'm choosing the way of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus did say this, Matthew 7. You say, well, now that I've been baptized and now that I've chosen Jesus, my life's going to be so great. Everything's going to work out now. Everything's going to be pleasurable or pleasant. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus' own words in the Sermon on the Mount said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there be many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, in the King James Version, it says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. That word narrow is really better defined difficult, which we see in the New King James Version. The word is thlebo. It means difficult, narrow, straitened, to trouble, afflict, distress, to crowd, afflict, narrow, suffer tribulation. Jesus said, narrow is the gate, difficult is the way. There's going to be tribulation along the way. If you're walking this narrow path with Jesus, you're going to have some troubles along the way. In Numbers 21, verse 4, I won't read that whole passage. This is the children of Israel in the wilderness. And the Bible says they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Look in red. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Why were they discouraged? Because of the way. Now, whose will was it that got them out there in the wilderness? Was it man's will? Man's way? No, they didn't want to be out there. It wasn't man's will at all. Who sent them out into that wilderness? God. It was God's will that once they crossed the Red Sea, they would walk through this wilderness, this dry, barren desert, this place where they had to totally depend upon God. God had to feed them manna and quails from on high and water from a rock, because there was no food and there was no water. There was no pleasantries in the wilderness. This is where God sent them. God sent them through the way. And they got discouraged because of the way. Sometimes the way is so difficult, you get discouraged as a Christian. As you're walking Jesus' narrow and difficult way, it can get you discouraged. That's why the Bible says you got to learn to, like David, encourage yourself in the Lord. That's why it says to assemble, forsake not the assembling of yourself in the house of God. Why does God want us to meet as a church? To encourage one another. You stay out of church and away from Christians and away from any good word, your soul will get discouraged, because the wilderness is a place that will suck all the energy out of your life. But God has you in that wilderness for a reason. See, they were out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. They were out of the world, but the world was still in them. God was trying to perfect them, and they kept complaining. For 40 years, they walked in circles because they kept murmuring and complaining because of the way. And God's looking down the whole time saying, will these people ever learn anything? They failed to enter into my rest, the Bible says. It was God's will, not man's will, that led them through the wilderness. Couple more scriptures. First, this thought. If anybody in here read Hinds Feet on High Places? Give me about half the congregation. One of the most amazing books. I love that book. Poor little Much Afraid was journeying from the valley of humiliation to the high places where she would get her feet changed, like hinds feet or deer's feet, so she could leap on the high places. She would get her countenance changed, her name changed. She was going through this transformation from poor little Much Afraid to this glorious creature that was going to get transformed when she got to the high places. But part of her journey, after she had been journeying for a long, long time trying to climb the mountains, all of a sudden the path took a turn and there was a bend in the road. And now all of a sudden the road was facing the wilderness again. And it discouraged her so much because she wasn't going to the high places anymore. But now there was this bend in the road and it was taking her away from the direction she thought she should be going. Jesus had to come to her rescue and minister to her and encourage her and tell her, Much Afraid, this is simply the way that you got to go. Excuse me. The pathway to God's not always pleasant, because God's trying to do more than just save you from hell. He's trying to save you from yourself. He's trying to perfect you and make you just like Jesus. Look at this one, Isaiah 43. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. See that? I like that. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. So God will make a way in the wilderness. Psalms 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Our eyes receive light. God's eye gives light. So when you're walking through this dark valley of change and loss that the whirlwinds messed your whole life up, if you'll get in the way of God, He will shine light into your pathway where you won't be in darkness. You can see where you put your footprint, the next step, because God's eye is shining light into your path. David said in Psalms 139, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. David was blind to things in his own heart, but he wanted them revealed so he could deal with them. He wanted to walk in God's way. How many of y'all know that there may be something in your life that's unChrist-like that God wants to remove from your life? That's a painful process you have to go through in order to get that removed. And it all begins with honesty of seeing your flesh, seeing your weakness, seeing the problem, and that you might confess it to the Lord and repent of it, that He might remove it from your heart. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked place shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. That's a call to repentance. As a church, we need to repent and fast and pray. We need to stick together at this time like never before, but our success will come from prayer and fasting and repentance. This is saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Lord's way wants to walk through Return Church, but we got to get all our valleys of inferior pride filled up, our mountains of superior pride brought low, the crooked places in our will made straight. See, our will's crooked like a snake. That's our road. You want to see what Bill's way looks like, it's a crooked path. But God is a straight and narrow path, and He wants us to get on His way. So repentance is the thing that does that, is get you to turn from your own way to His way. So I'm going to leave you these eight words here, and I'll close. I want to show you eight slides for these words. I wanted to ask you the question. You say you got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that? You say, well, I call on Him. I speak in Jesus' name. I pray in Jesus' name. I go to church where people are all about Jesus. Sister Shannon singing all about Jesus this morning. I've got my own personal relationship with Jesus. And I'm wanting to encourage you to develop that at whatever level you might be. Whether you're a seasoned veteran walking with Him for many, many years, or you just got baptized today, I want to encourage you to look toward that personal relationship with Jesus. But you say you are walking with Jesus, is there honesty on your path? Are you honest with yourself, honest with God, honest with others? If you're not honest, you're kidding yourself. You're not walking with Jesus. Is there humility on your path? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Are you humbling yourself in your life? Is there repentance on your path? Is there faith on your path? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith to have a relationship with God. Is there redemption on your path? grace, truth, and love. Think about those eight things. And you might say, where did you get that? That's just out of 36 years of walking with Jesus. That's where I am. I realize it's all about honesty. Are you wearing a mask? Do you come to church with a mask on, hiding who you really are? If you're wearing a mask, you're not being honest with God, with others, with yourself. You don't have to wear a mask with Jesus. We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. There's nobody in this room here that doesn't make mistakes. You don't have to wear a mask. Can you get honest with yourself? Can you even see yourself? Do you see yourself the way God sees you, or the way others see you, or only the way you see yourself? Those usually are three different things. Can you get honest with God, and can you be honest with others? It's getting really quiet in here. If you say you're walking with Jesus, it has to be this path of honesty. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. Honesty. It's not so hard. Just say, you know, self, I'm going to get honest with myself, and I'm going to start praying to Jesus, like in the light of what he already knows about me. You think you're trying to hide something from Jesus? You can't hide it. You might as well talk to him about it. You might as well get honest with him and honest with yourself. If you want to see great change coming in your life and transformation, it all starts with honesty. Then there's that verse in Revelation 21 talking about the lake of fire, and it gives you all these people that are doing these horrible things, and he says all liars. Right there with the murderers and the abominable and the sexual immoral, all the liars are in the lake of fire. Honesty needs to be a trait that we long for in our walk with Jesus. Humility is the next thing. You got to have humility. 1 Peter 5:6, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud. See that? He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time. Humility. We hate to be humiliated. We hate to have to humble ourselves in front of people. But this is the way of God. This is the way of Jesus. To humble yourself and to resist the pride. To kick the pride out of your life. God hates pride. Pride separates you from God. Pride means you're independent, going your own way, doing your own thing. Humility is you humbling yourself and say, I'm going to walk on God's path. He gives more grace, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. In James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he'll lift you up. Matthew 23, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Then there's repentance. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:46, Jesus talking, said, he said to them, thus it's written, thus it's necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You'll see this theme of repentance all through the Bible. That's why we named the church Return. It's so important to return to God, to repent to God, to change your mind, to change your thinking. It's turning around and walking the other direction. Repentance is so important. If you know that you're repenting, you're probably on the path with Jesus. And then there's faith. I'm just going to read one scripture and move on. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Your journey is all about putting your confidence in the finished work of Christ. It's not what you do that counts. It's what Jesus has already done that counts. It's you trusting in what Jesus has already done, putting your faith in him instead of yourself. Then there's redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his glory. Wherever there's redemption, there's forgiveness of sins. And on your path, there has to be this thing after repentance of redemption and forgiveness of sins. For you to ever get born again, for you to ever have a relationship with Jesus, you have to go through redemption. It's not what you do, it's what Jesus has done. And then grace. For the law is given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We have nothing to boast about because it's all because of God's grace. And then there's truth. Same scripture. Law is given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you want to be on the path with Jesus, you're going to find out that this he forgives you with grace. He gives you grace over and over and over. There's always grace. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. No matter what situation he puts you in, he says, "My grace is sufficient." Amen. He's going to extend his grace to you, but he's all the time trying to lead you into truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. His grace is balanced with his truth. Jesus came with grace and truth. Some people are heavy on the grace side. Other people are heavy on the truth side. We need to find a balance in our life of grace and truth. And then the final thing, the eighth thing, is love. "By this all will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." If you're on a path of hate and you just can't love your neighbor, you're kidding yourself. You're not walking with Jesus. You say, How do I know? I don't know if I'm walking with Jesus. You'll find these eight things in your life all the time. You'll be honest with God and yourself. You'll humble yourself. It won't be so hard for God to humble you. God doesn't want to humble you in front of people. He wants you to humble yourself, and then you'll be exalted. There's repentance, faith, redemption, grace, truth, and love. So my question, are you going your own way, or are you on this path walking with Jesus Christ? Jesus' way is straight. It's narrow, but it's the way of life. It's the way of satisfaction. It's the way of meaning and purpose. I have more purpose and meaning in my life than I've ever had. I've been walking with Jesus since 1988. That means that's 36 years. And I tell you, for all the new people out there just starting, I'm more excited about my relationship with Jesus today than I was 36 years ago. And I was very excited the day I got saved. Amen. It's where to invest your time. It's where to invest your life. It's the very thing that makes life worth living. So spend time working on that relationship every day. Every day, study and pray and fellowship the brethren. Encourage one another. Pour yourself into one another. And let's grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are y'all following me? Well, I'm wore out. I'm old. We need to take an offering, Scotty. Thank you so much. I forgot all about that, didn't I? You didn't. All right, what we're going to do then, we're going to take an offering. Then we're going to dismiss the church. And if you want to go, you're welcome to go. But if you're a member of Return, or if you want to be a member of Return, I encourage you to stay. We're going to take a two-minute break, and then we're going to have this family business meeting. And we're going to go through some important information. And so it won't take long at all. It'll be a very short meeting. So I encourage you to stay if you can. But let's stand to our feet and we'll take an offering. If the ushers would come forth with the plates, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We love your word. You said your word won't return void, but it would accomplish the thing whereunto it was sent. So, Lord, I just pray that your word would do its job this day, and it would change people's hearts and minds. I'm praying that we'll all want to make a new choice to find your pathway and to walk in your footprints, dear Jesus, as we follow you. Bless this congregation. Bless this church. Lord Jesus, bless everyone that has come today. Wrap your everlasting arms, sweet Holy Spirit, around them, and let them feel loved and valued and important and cared for. And we just pray you'd pour into them faith and courage and strength that they could face another day and choose to walk with you. Bless this offering as we give it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.